for a text of a message. There is only one verse assigned to me, Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 20. Jeremiah 11, verse 20. But, O Lord of hosts, that judges righteously, that tries the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. The subject of my message is Jehovah Sabaoth. Do not confuse it with the word Sabbath, but it's Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. This is a name that is very much used by Jeremiah in his book. 80 times his name, Lord Sabaoth, appears. Why is it? Because Jeremiah is bringing us to the last days of Judah. Judgment is coming, and it is the Lord of power, of hosts, of armies, with his might and power to judge between the good and the bad, because in the end times, kings of Judah were very delinquent, and they did not obey the word of the Lord, which Jeremiah preached. And then the word Lord of hosts appears 50 times in the book of Zechariah of 14 chapters. And here Zechariah is a prophet of the Old Testament, equivalent to the apostle of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. So Zechariah is known as the revelation of the Old Testament. And there he looks forward to many, many judgments that God will pour out on his enemies. That's why he comes in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies. So, that is the meaning of the Lord of hosts, or the Lord Sabaoth. He comes to protect the good and the God-fearing, and he comes to judge the wicked. I would like to give a testimony of the warring days under the Japanese occupation. When the Japanese army came, in the very beginning, immediately they issued a decree to one and all, every district, to gather at some school or some public place, and there you are made to stay for 2 or 3 days in the open. Fortunately, there was no rain. And everyone knows about the word kiam, and that's a chop. Examine. And the sadness was that many families, almost every family, lost one son, like the days of Egypt. One firstborn was taken. And in our family, the most likely to be taken would be me, and my brother, Dr. Tu Xiang Hua. I was 22 years old, and he was 17. But the Lord had kept us safe by my uncle preparing for the war. He bought an attap house inside Ahud Road, which is now Toa Payoh. And because we were quite a way in, we never received the order to go to some public place to be examined. After 3 days, when everything was very quiet and still, I rode my bicycle to go to my own house in Tiong Bahru. And we never knew that there was such a sad cry among the people that many families lost a son. And not only that, throughout the Japanese occupation, as we were employees of the British government, it was necessary for us to report for duty. And we all got back to our work safely. And throughout the Japanese occupation, he had kept us safe. Even my parents from Batu Pahat, they had to escape to Singapore from the war. They were now returning home to rehabilitate his business, his work. And in all these travels, the Lord had kept us safe. Now, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, appears in the Old Testament especially. And it's interesting to notice when you come to the end of the Old Testament and we enter into the New Testament, we have no more the term the Lord of hosts. But in the book of Revelation, while the name of the Lord of hosts doesn't appear, his hosts, his armies, his angels appear to be in action all the time. And here in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 12, we have Michael the archangel and his angels fighting the old dragon, Satan, and his angels. And it is described, there is war in heaven. But Michael the archangel conquered the old dragon, the old serpent, Satan, and cast him down to the earth, so that on earth there will be more trouble. Why there are so many rioting, Muslims killing Christians, for example, in Sulawesi, in Ambon? This is all due to the instigation of Satan. So many wars and rumors of wars are due to the old serpent, because his job is really to accuse the brethren and bring trouble to us. In Revelation then, we see the hosts of God, the armies of God in action. Particularly, we come to the trumpet section of Revelation. The trumpet section signifies war. It's not an angel playing a guitar. That will be for peace. But when he blows the trumpet, first trumpet to the last trumpet, seven trumpet, and then he pours the bowls, the vials of wrath, that will be worse. also seven angels. And so these angels now come into action. I'd like you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 9 to see one of the angels in action. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, 200 million. And I heard the number of them. This is to show to you that the Lord of hosts, his military angels, are in action. And what happens on earth is seen first in heaven, to show you the sovereign hand of God. There is nothing that can happen on earth without the action of God in heaven. To learn this truth is of a wonderful value, because sometimes we experience certain events in our life and we want to do this thing, but somehow, no matter what, you cannot do it. That is the restraining hand of God. And here we see four angels in prophetic numerics. Four means universal, north, east, south, west. There are four angels that are bound in the river Euphrates, which means that all the forces in the world, north, east, south, west, from everywhere, will one day come to a clash. But God restrains them, that the angels are bound. But now the sixth angel who blows the trumpet says, the voice said, now loose them. That means war is declared for an hour, a day, a month, a year. That day only God knows, nobody knows. Yet there will be great trouble in the river Euphrates. And very interestingly today, what country dominates the river Euphrates? Well, it flows in a small stream from very far away from Turkey. And then it flows through Syria. But then the main bulk of the river Euphrates, the land which it flows through, is in Iraq. So this is with reference to Iraq. And now it's loose. And a great war breaks out, which Dr. Walbert, late president of the Dallas Theological Seminary, he identifies this to be the Third World War. I quote him, and I do not say so. He is a great man and I'm a small man. But I quote him, "This is going to be the Third World War." Now turn to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. "And the sixth angel," take note of the word six. This second set of angels, number six one, just like the one who blew the trumpet was number six, "poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates." And here we see a climaxing of the war. "And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." So we see that the eastern nations are involved in a world war, whoever they are. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of a dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." This is the unholy trinity of Satan, trying to copy the holy trinity of God. And they go and stir up. Verse 14. "For we are the spirits of the devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle that great day of all of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief." This is a warning to us. "Blessed is he that watcheth, and he whose his garments that keep them pure, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called," in the Hebrew language, Hebrew tongue, "Armageddon." And what is all that? From Iraq, the war now goes up to the north, where the river dries up and the kings of the east can cross and join in the battle, and they come to a place called Armageddon. Armageddon is a Hebrew, spelled in Greek, Har Megiddo, Armageddon, the hill of slaughter. And that is a very historic spot between Haifa and Galilee, the plain of Armageddon, where historic armies have fought back and forth. And those who are coming from the north to attack the south, Jerusalem, must pass through this plain, or else it's the sea and the mountains. And from Har Megiddo, the place between Haifa and Galilee, right down to Jerusalem, if you drive a car, it's a matter of perhaps just only two hours off. And then you are in Jerusalem. The Armageddon battle is none other than the final battle of Jerusalem, where the armies of the earth will meet, and there will be great slaughter. The slaughter is seen in Revelation chapter 14. There will be a river of blood, 5 or 6 feet high, flowing for 200 miles from the place of Armageddon right down to the south of the country, to Eilat, which is on the Red Sea. That is a picture of the carnage that is going to be. And then We come to the book of Zechariah, which is a revelation of the Old Testament. If you read the book of Zechariah, many things that are happening in Palestine, Israel, and the Middle East are all recorded there. And when you come to the climax in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8, there it says that 2/3 of the Jews will be killed. What a horrible picture. But so will be the Gentiles killed. Whether they use chemical weapons or nuclear arms, we do not know, but the carnage is a terrible thing. And then the order is for the Jews to flee, even as Jesus said in Matthew, to flee to the mountains. Where are they? Across the river Jordan. It's very interesting. On the other side of the river Jordan, it's also predicted in Daniel chapter 11 that these places will not be touched. And in the course of fleeing, they will hide in those caves, rock caves. There is nothing that appears stronger than a rock cave. OCBC has an advertisement that they are solid as a rock. Well, I wish they are. But the rock is always given in comparison to our Lord Jesus Christ, built on the rock. Truly, they are wonderful places of refuge. And in the hour of Jerusalem being totally ravaged by the attacking army, Jesus then descends from heaven and stands on the hill of the Mount of Olives, exactly as from where he went up, as told by the angels to the disciples, "Why do you stand here waiting? This same Jesus who goes up will come down." And how happy it is. You know, the Jews, even today, are yearning every day. "Oh, Messiah," they call. They are so tired of fighting, constantly badgered by the suicide bombers. I had a good friend, Mrs. Ben Asher, but she's now gone to be with the Lord. I believe she believed in the Lord Jesus. And she told me, "We Jews are sick of fighting and we are daily calling upon the Messiah to come and deliver us." And so, when Christ will come, at one word of his mouth, all his enemies will fail. Now I want you to read backwards in Revelation chapter 9 again. No need to read, but we refer to it. That is the beginning of the Third World War, says Dr. Wolfe. And I'm inclined to believe what he says. Do you know that all nations of the world, everyone appears to be very peaceful, but everyone is secretly preparing for war. And with this accumulation of deadly weapons, there will be one day when they will be used. And that is a terrible thing. Now, when we talk of Iraq, our ears have all pricked up. Did you notice during the last week, 6 days, every day there is something about Saddam Hussein and about Iraq? And the commentator says, it is most probable that USA will attack Iraq. I met one of our members, and he is in the petroleum business. And his comment is that it's not only to remove the terrorism of Saddam, but there is also a business consideration, the matter of the price of petroleum. And I asked him, what is your opinion? Will there be war or not? He said, most probably. Exactly as I read in the newspaper. What is my understanding? I don't want to be a false prophet, you know. Never say anything that is beyond the knowledge. And I can also join in to say, most probably. Well, that will be the release of the four angels or not, I do not know to what extent. I am not suggesting that what President Bush is going to do is going to bring in the Third World War. I don't think so, because before the sixth angel blew the trumpet, there are the first five angels who blew the trumpet also. And the first one who blew brought in death to one third of the earth, which we have not seen. The second one who blew the trumpet brought in death on the seas and to the ships, and so forth. But it is of great importance that we Christians know the future, the path that is ahead of us, how things will go. And the thing is that we have a secret weapon. The world will be really sorry. The world has no way to go. They will be scared to death. But we have a wonderful, wonderful future. As we sang the song just now, Watchman. What time is it? And it tells us finally of the star that appears. And then the Prince of Peace, lo, the Son of God is come. He will come after the great ordeal of the world war that will happen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, it tells us that we have a bright future and we are not afraid of death. So comfort you one another. If your loved one has been taken away, if he is safe in the Lord, the day will come when Jesus comes to judge the earth. The grace of Christians will open. And those who die in the Lord, but I'm afraid a lot of graves in Choa Chu Kang Christian Cemetery will not open because they come into Tumpang. Many times, very sad that because of the loved ones are Christians, but the parents are not Christians, we bury them anyway. The Bible has no teaching on this, but we do it for the sake of the children, that they don't then have a Buddhist there's a burial. The graves are open, they all receive a new body, and then they will be airlifted, zoom up in the ascension power of our Lord Jesus Christ. They have the A power, A bomb, we have the ascension bomb. And it tells us immediately that after they go up, we who are alive, in the twinkling of an eye, will be caught up also together with them in the crowd. And this event is called the rapture. Not rupture, but rapture. And rapture is from the Latin meaning to forcefully remove you for safety. Now, when will the Lord save us from burning earth into space? I will give you the clue in 1 Corinthians 15. You turn with me together. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, and I will read. Behold, I show you a mystery. There are 28 mysteries in the New Testament. This I learned from my teacher, Dr. Boswell. It's very interesting to make a study of the word mystery. What mysteries? There's a mystery of the election, the mystery of the gospel. And here is a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we will all not all die, but we shall be changed. This refers to those of us who are living when Christ comes. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We undergo a change that passes through death, and suddenly we become a new person with much power. It is said that when we live, we have body, bones, and blood, flesh and blood. In the change, all our blood dried up, no need of blood. We'll be like what the Chinese say, brass body and iron bones. And with that power, we will be caught up. When? At the blowing of the last trumpet. It's a seventh trumpet. Let us now turn back to Revelation chapter 10 and you will find out the mystery there. Revelation chapter 10. Verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the trumpet, the mystery of God which should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophet. When the seventh angel will sound the trumpet, the mystery in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, will take place. Then I ask you, what is a mystery? The mystery is a rapture. the changing of our bodies, flesh and blood, while we live, into a new body that defies distance and time, and will be caught up to be with those who have a new body by the opening of the graves, the true Christians. What is the logic of this being caught up? As I think over it, the logic is because there are no safe places on earth to hide. There is no refuge. No Sweden and Switzerland have made the nuclear shelters in the mountains. But there is no test yet, we do not know. In the testing, they might entirely be burned, but burned up. It may be. But when they are caught up into space, whatever is happening on earth doesn't bother us. That will be the wonderful meeting of all our relatives and friends and loved ones. I show you the mystery. Now let us come back to USA and Saddam Hussein again. For some time the generals were afraid and gave a lot of excuses. But the civilians have won, and now it is said that they are all agreed that they must go to war with Saddam Hussein. And they even gave a prescription, 80,000 troops will be able to take care of Saddam. At first they say 250,000. But in the last war, 1991, they had 500,000 of Allied troops. How they are going to do it with 80,000? Of course, that is the wisdom of the military leaders. And I cannot comment anything. But I want to say there is still a big question mark. I don't think this will bring the Third World War in. But I believe most probably they will attack. But when the war comes in the Gulf, we in the Far East will be affected, whether you like it or not. But at any rate, we must all be ready. For the Lord has given us an escape route in the end times. And what we must prepare is to prepare our spacesuit, to prepare our qualification for the rapture. When Christ comes, will you be raptured? Will you be saved? To be caught up in the air? At that time, you won't worry about your house having how many more years to go. You won't even think that it's a good thing to have a freehold house. What's the use of a freehold house? To live forever there, but you'll be gone. You'll not think of your shares. You'll not think of your new car. And then you will regret. Jesus tells us to put our treasures in heaven, to do good, to support the church's program of extending the gospel around the world. And you suddenly realize, I did not do anything like that. But above all, are you sure that all your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus? Let us pray. Loving Father, in a world that is so full of terror and misery, we thank Thee that by trusting in the Lord of hosts, our God of armies, and You are going to judge the whole world with Your coming judgments of war. But we thank thee that by praying to you and secretly waiting upon you, we will be saved. After the outbreak of the Third World War comes the rapture. And we do not want to wait until the pouring out of the bowls. We want to be caught up to be with you forever in the heavens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.